Well, a couple weeks ago, I raised the question of whether you had been amazed by Jesus lately. I don't know if since these last 2 weeks, whether he's amazed you in new ways. He has me. This week, I had the privilege to go to a seminar in Columbus, a lot of teaching. God really, once again, just kind of dealt with me and too many areas that I don't know which to start on first, but it was an awesome time. It just reminded me of how God continues to amaze me and wake me up to things that I don't understand, how to live my life, and all that He has for me. But this week, I want to do a little bit different focus. We talked about the fact that we are dealing with the Son of God here when we talk about Jesus. And we talked about how He raised the dead, how He healed people, and how He rose from the dead and ascended into heaven. And really, right now, is sitting at the right hand of God in heaven. I spoke of the awe and even the fear that people felt when they recognized Him. If you remember Peter and the disciples, they recognized some element of who He was, and the fear that was associated with that, the awe that they had. This is part of what compels us to follow Jesus. This understanding helps us to take our walk with Jesus seriously and not carelessly, but it really isn't the entire picture. And the passage today, I think, provides some balance maybe to my last message. Lest we get the idea that we simply follow Christ because maybe we're scared of Him, of how awesome He is, that He is the Son of God, and we have no choice but to obey Him. That really isn't what we're talking about. And I think this passage here helps provide some balance to who Jesus is and how He interacts with us. Jesus is described in today's passage as the Good Shepherd. We put our faith in Jesus because of who He is and what He can accomplish. But we also put our trust in Him because we know He will take care of us. And this understanding of Jesus as our shepherd really gives us a great picture of what it means to have an intimate relationship with Him. And we tend to kind of throw that phrase around, do you have a relationship with Christ? Do you have a relationship with Jesus? Maybe a bit carelessly sometimes, but this idea of Jesus being a shepherd, I think, maybe captures that the best of passages in Scripture, of who Jesus is to us and how we relate to Him. And the fact that it is a close and intimate relationship. And we see this in John chapter 10, which is our text for today. And I invite you to turn there. We're going to follow along through some of the verses there in John chapter 10. But before we read the Scripture here, we talk about shepherding. I'm wondering if we really have a good context of what a shepherd is. How many shepherds do we have here this morning? Oh, there's one back here. Any sheep, though? You think sheep would be easier? There's not too many shepherds of sheep here, and this is the context, really, that Jesus uses to describe His relationship with us. And so, I want to talk a little bit about that. We have sheep in the United States here. I don't know if I've seen any recently. There used to be some just down the road here. Are they still down there? Some sheep down there. My grandfather in Oregon, I remember he had sheep. I don't remember a lot about them. I know they were in a pen, and I'm pretty sure he would feed them regularly. The thing that I remember the most is that they used to get maggots in their hoofs, and we used to have to treat that with some kind of stuff to kill that. I don't know why sheep got that, but it was kind of gross. So that's about all that I remember about sheep. I don't have a lot of exposure to them. I don't remember my grandfather really having that great of a relationship with them. I mean, they were, livestock, a commodity on his farm. So I don't know that he really had strong feelings for the sheep. So I don't know that that picture really relates very well to what Jesus is describing here in John chapter 10. It's very different than how an Eastern shepherd would have cared for his sheep in that day and how they still, even today, would care for them. They didn't really have fences back then that they used, like we would keep our livestock in a fence or a pen. They didn't really need fences. The sheep simply followed the shepherd. Wherever the shepherd went, the sheep went. So the flocks would even get mixed together. They would sometimes have a common fold where the sheep would come in at night to a common place where they could be protected. And so when the shepherd would come in the morning, the different shepherds, they would come and they would call to the sheep or make a signal, and those sheep would recognize their shepherd's signal or voice, and they would separate themselves out from the rest of the other sheep. A very interesting way of taking care of sheep. I don't know if we can take care of other animals that way or not. I've never experimented with that. But it's a very close relationship that we see here between the shepherd and the sheep. So that's kind of gives you an idea of a difference of how sheep were shepherded during that time and still are over in the eastern countries. It's all about a relationship. As I mentioned earlier, this passage gives us a much better idea what it means to have a relationship with Jesus. We are not following an impersonal God. We are not merely an anonymous person in God's kingdom or just lost in the shuffle of God's people. Now, he doesn't just look down on this group and just see one group of people. That's not how God interacts with us. That's not how Jesus interacts with us. God wants to relate to us in a personal and intimate way, and we see this in Scripture. So let's begin in verse 1, and I want to just observe what is it that we learn about relationship here. Verse 1, he says, "I tell you the truth, the man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep." Well, that might seem kind of obvious to us as we look at that, but I think what we learn from that is that the shepherd really has nothing to hide. He's the shepherd. He's known as the shepherd. There's one shepherd, and he has the best interests of the sheep in mind. He's not there to trick them into something, deceive them into doing something that they would be bad for them, but he has their best interest in mind. He doesn't have an angle on it. And I don't know about you, but when people come at me and they have an angle, I immediately get suspicious and turned off. And so he isn't manipulative. He's not deceptive. He comes directly to the gate and comes in. That's his position as a shepherd. The sheep know who he is, and they respect that position. And so there's no deception going on there. He is true. But right away we see also in this verse that this is not necessarily true of everyone in the world that we have contact with. There are robbers and thieves out there who are deceptive, who want to take us off track. And they don't have our best interest in mind like the shepherd does. Only the shepherd has our best interests in mind. He is the one that can be trusted. He's the only shepherd. And for me, it's a tremendous comfort to think of that. That I have somebody like Jesus who can be completely trusted. That he's not going to try and deceive me or manipulate me into doing things. He simply asks, and he expects us to obey. There's no deception there. That should be a great comfort to each of us. He truly is a rock on which we can stand, the cornerstone. Let's continue with verse 3. It says, "The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out." He calls them by name. They weren't just a bunch of sheep. It almost seems like, in some ways, the best way we could get close to this is pets. He kind of treated them like pets. They had names. In our neighborhood, anyways, there seems to be a lot of pets. It seems like every house has a dog, and we seem to hear those dogs often. And some of those dogs are very, very close to their master. There's a relationship that I look at and say, "Ooh, man, that's closer. I know a lot of friends have, you know, human to human." It seems a bit overboard to me, but if you like animals, you understand that. My wife doesn't understand that because she doesn't really care for animals that much. But if you like animals, you understand that relationship. But this isn't just talking about animals. It's an example of the kind of relationship that Jesus wants to have with us, that he knows us by name. And one of the frustrating things for me the last few years is, I don't know why, but I'm having a great difficulty in remembering names. So I don't know, maybe you should worry about me. I kind of wonder about it sometimes, wonder what's going on. But even you all here, the people I've known for years, there are times where I will see you and I pull up a blank. I can't pull up your name. I've known you for years. And it kind of bothers me. In fact, I read in a magazine somewhere that one of the crucial things for a pastor is to be able to remember people's names when you meet people. And I'm terrible at that. So I don't know. Maybe I'm not adequately prepared for this job. But that's one thing that is difficult for me. And what is it when somebody remembers your name? You meet somebody and they say your name. It indicates that there's a relationship there, that they know you from somewhere, that there's at least some level of understanding who you are as a person. It may not be deep, but there's some level of understanding about who you are. If I call your name, now maybe I should try this and see if I can get all your names this morning, but that would be a bad test. I'd probably embarrass myself. So if I don't remember your name, just don't take it personal, please. But we see that the shepherd here calls the sheep by name. So he knows each of them individually, not just as a group. He calls you by name. He knows each of you. Don't you think that's awesome that the Son of God, the Creator of the universe, would call each of us by name? What an awesome thing to be able to know that he knows who we are. Let's continue on with verse 4. It says, When he was brought out, all his own, he goes... Now, did I read that right? When he was brought out, all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. Once he calls them out, the shepherd leads the sheep, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. There's an intimate relationship between the shepherd and the sheep. We see this. We see the shepherd doesn't drive the sheep out in front of him as we would probably do it if we were to take them somewhere. Or as I've seen in other countries, they have sheepdogs that kind of help corral the sheep and help move them in a particular direction. But this isn't how this relationship between the shepherd and these sheep work. He simply goes in a direction, and the sheep follow along behind. It's an interesting idea. I saw a little bit of it the other day. I think it was this week. People are walking their dogs often down the street, and I noticed a lady had a dog on a leash, and she had another dog that wasn't on a leash, and that dog just stayed right with her. And obviously, she could trust this dog to not run out into the street to not take off somewhere else. And maybe she couldn't really trust the other dog to do that. Now, it's always unsettling to me when I see a similar application with the leash idea with children. And it seems, I don't know, maybe I'm old-fashioned or what. I haven't had young children like that for a while. But it's always startling for me to see when a parent comes down the street and their child is on a leash. And I have to think, now, is that really necessary? And I suppose there's special occasions for that. I don't want to offend anybody here who does that. But it always makes me wonder, what is going on in that relationship that would cause the need for you to have a leash on your child? I don't know. Maybe we've heard horrible stories of where children have been penned up and tied up in their homes. And I think often it is an indicator of a huge problem in that relationship. That there's not this intimate relationship and understanding between them. And I think we see this as the shepherd leads the sheep. We see an intimate relationship. The sheep follow along behind. They know the shepherd. They know his voice. And they follow his voice. So we see a very intimate relationship there in the sheep following the shepherd. I think it's also interesting that the shepherd is going in front. The shepherd is actually, I think, checking out the area ahead of them. He's going to see the danger before the sheep get there. He's going out in front. And so we see that kind of concern for the sheep as well, I think, when we see the shepherd leading them in this way. What does that mean for us? Well, I think one of the main things it means for me is that I can have confidence that Jesus is going to lead me. He's going to lead me where I need to go. And I don't know about you, but oftentimes I get in situations and I wonder, what am I supposed to do here, God? I don't know where to go. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. And this passage here, I think, gives us confidence that Jesus does lead us, just like a shepherd leads his sheep. If we maintain that intimate relationship with him, that he will show us the way to go. And maybe part of that is the key of this intimate relationship. What do you think? To be able to hear and understand the shepherd's voice. We see that in this passage. The sheep, they know his voice. And in my life, there's all kinds of voices out there saying, Rob, you need to do this. Rob, you need to do this. You need to go this direction. You need to go over here. And how do we sort out all of those voices? What is right? What isn't? It's pulling at us. I think the key is that intimate relationship with the shepherd, so that we can recognize his voice and pick it out from all of those other voices that are calling at us. It points to relationship. Let's continue on in verse 11. And the question I ask before we look at this is, how much does this shepherd love the sheep? It says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he's a hired hand and he cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay my life down for the sheep. Do you understand how much the shepherd loves the sheep? Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. And this is the kind of shepherd that we have in Christ. The shepherd who lays down his life for his sheep, and we reflected on that this morning already. He lays down his life for you. How many friends do you have where you think, yeah, I know that person would lay their life down for me? I don't know. We're not sure, are we, whether they would, when push comes to shove, whether that would happen. But this is the kind of shepherd we have, the kind of love that is shown to us. He lays down his life willingly. He will never abandon us. Says the hired hand doesn't care about the sheep. He's just hired to do his job. That's all he's there for. And if push comes to shove, if his job gets dangerous, he's out of there. But not the shepherd. The shepherd stays there. The shepherd fights against the wolf that comes, even if it means his life. He's there to protect the sheep. And this is the kind of shepherd that we have in Christ. He cares about us. He loves us more than anybody else does. He loves each of us. And when I think of this idea of who Jesus is and how he loves us and the relationship that is ours for the asking, I have to wonder about the church. We heard some statistics this week, and it's not really a surprise, but the American church is shrinking. I was in a youth session about youth, and they said that 80 to 90%, even higher, of youth in our church leave the church. That's the statistics right now. 80 to 90%, they take the churches as a whole. It's a huge percentage. It's startling. And I have to wonder about it. Why is that? Why are these youth, why are they leaving? It's not just the young people. The entire church is shrinking in America. In other parts of the world, it is growing like wildfire. In Africa, India, other places, China, the church is exploding. But I wonder, what is happening here? When I think of this passage, I have to think, who would not want that kind of a relationship? The people I know are looking. They're looking for this kind of relationship. The youth that I know, they're looking. They're looking for love. They want to be loved and accepted and cared for. And here is this love that Jesus offers, and somehow the world isn't seeing it. And I wonder why. Why don't they understand this great love that Jesus offers? A greater love than any person, any other thing could offer to us. I'd be curious what you think about that. Why is it that people aren't just piling in the door, banging down the doors of churches, saying, how can I learn about this Jesus who loves me, who cares about me, who wants to meet my needs? But it's not happening, at least not in America. And then I have to wonder too, well, where do they see this love of Christ? Do you and I have a love relationship with the shepherd? Is that how we look at Jesus? Or is he just kind of out there, a distant thought that we think about when we come to church, but isn't really relevant to my life as I go to work or if I go to school? How do we think of Jesus? Do we have that love relationship with him? Is it obvious by the way you listen to him? How you listen intently to his voice? As you follow his leading? As you tune into him? And as you obey him above the din of the world? Are you passionate about Jesus? I have the privilege of doing premarital counseling, which is a lot of fun for me. The last few years, it seems like there's more people getting married that are associated with LCF. And so it's always great for me because as I go into those sessions, not only do I get to kind of give them some advice about what Doris and I give them some advice about what we've learned over the years, but I'm also reminded of what that beautiful love is when it starts, you know? You know, these couples are sitting there and they're holding the hands all the time, you know, and it's like, wow, that's really cool. I need to hold my wife's hand too. So I grab my wife. But it reminds me of this beautiful love relationship and what our marriages should be like, not just when we're dating and getting ready to get married, and maybe that first year, but all throughout our relationship, that it grows and expands and becomes even a deeper and deeper love relationship. And so I'm always reminded in those sessions, wow, we're not doing so good on that anymore. We need to take a date and invest in our relationship, Doris and I, a little bit more. We're a little bit too distracted by other things and other responsibilities. And so they're good for us to be reminded about what that love relationship is supposed to be like. And yeah, it's also good for me to think, yeah, in a few couple years, some of these things, they'll wake up a little bit and realize that they don't happen quite as easy as what it looks like right at the beginning. It takes a lot of work and effort to maintain that love relationship. The same is true in our relationship with Christ. And I think communion draws us back to that time when we think about what that's all about. But I wonder, do people see that in us? Would anyone be attracted to Jesus because of you? What do you think? They look at your relationship with Jesus and say, wow, that is something that I need in my life. I don't have anything like that in my life. They're tough questions, but Jesus calls us into a deep and intimate relationship with Him. And if you've never established that, maybe, then really your Christian walk is somewhat of a farce, because that's what the Christian walk is about. It's about walking with Jesus. And the world sees right through that. Unfortunately, the thief has been busy. He's been deceiving people left and right, and people really are looking for love in all the wrong places. I want to close with this passage that I always think about when I think of shepherding, and I thought about trying to work it in because my mind kept going back to it. It's such a beautiful passage about the Lord being our shepherd, and I'm sure you're familiar with it. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen.